Evening, everybody. How are we all doing? Me,
Great. How are you doing, Gavin?
I'm good, thank you all. Very good. Very good. Just seeing who's in the room here. Mr. Matt Aubin's in the room. Looking well, sir. Richard, Coach Andrew's in as well. Thompson, my man. Yes.
Hello.
Good to see you, brother. Mr. Russell. Keith, big Keith W. Hope Andrew's kicking your ass, man. Josh, I've gone through. Are you working with Dan, Josh? Yeah. May I've just seen some of your results come through, brother. Well done. Congratulations.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Yeah, he's been doing a great job.
Really good work.
Thank you.
Great work. Russell, great to see you, brother. Getting some cardio in. Yes, my man. Good work. Good work. Boys, what I'd love to start with, I haven't been on one of these calls for a while. Obviously, been in the UK. This is now 11 p.m. for me. So I know Ben couldn't make it today. So I said I would cover. And I want to go through a few things with how we predict results with the team. And I know a few of the clients here are working with me currently. So we've got Dale. We've got Thompson as well. Let me see if I miss anybody who's got their camera off just in case. Yeah, Thompson, Dale. I think that's it tonight for myself. But a few of the coaches are going to start launching with you guys certain things that are going to help us predict outcomes of the results that we're going to go for. So, it's specifically, obviously, initially around fat loss or muscle building. I know Thompson's really delving deep into it. Dale, we might even use maybe Dale's spreadsheet if he gives us the all clear on that today. But I want to show you a few case studies on how this thing works and how
Yeah, go
predictable
ahead.
you can make it. Thank you, Dale. Appreciate it, man.
Yep.
But whilst I'm pulling up, and maybe Coach Andrew can give me a hand on this, whilst I'm pulling these sheets up, could you just pop a win in the chat for me that's one thing that's gone really well for you in the last 7 days, like something you're proud of, something you've got. It could be training, it could be family, it could be nutrition. Just pop a win in the chat for me so we can check those out, okay? That's you as well, Andrew. Get one in there, brother. So we've got this one. Trev. Okay. Everybody got any wins in there? Mate, that's Josh, that's epic, brother. So you play baseball with your son, yeah? That's brilliant, man.
Yeah, he's a stud, man. He's fun to watch. I'm a coach because he's a stud, if you will. I'm dugout control and hype man. But I've always had to miss part or sometimes a whole spring season because of a flare up. And since I've been with you guys, man, it's been rock and roll. I've never felt better. So
Mate,
kudos.
that's fantastic to hear, man. It goes to show, like, when you start to put your health in the front seat and you clear those things up, other things open up in life, right?
That's right. That's right.
The most important, it's not about abs at that point, it's about life with your kid, right? So
Yeah.
the abs are the side effect. That'll come for sure, because I've seen those new
Appreciate
pictures, but that's the side effect, So great work, brother.
it, brother.
Yes, Matt, kicking ass on the rituals, love it. Andrew, you're getting the pendulum squats in. Yes. Jacuzzi in the backyard. I'm coming around yours, mate. Dale, the wedding ring fits. You're not taking it off of you, mate. You managed to get it off of you. Mate, that's great to hear. Mate, so boys, I'll actually go through Dale's spreadsheet with you tonight as well. I was going to pull up Chris Clark's. He's another client of mine. that he was, I think you'll see Dale's before and afters coming out at the moment. He's done superbly well over the last 10 weeks. Chris over 7 months. But you'll be able to see exactly the percentages of prediction that we would make and what we see and how we start to manipulate things and make much faster changes if you can work with your coach on this. And it doesn't have to be the full intricacies of what I would cover here in these sheets. This can be as much or as little as you need. Some of you may actually be using them already. Maybe I think John might be using one with Greg potentially. Yeah, there might be a few of you using them already, but I know Andrew's getting up to speed with a few things on the sheets, but all the coaches should be rolling them out very soon. So I'd love some questions. If you have any questions on them, please fire them over. And if you'd like to work with one with your coach, for sure. If you think you've got the capacity to handle that type of stuff to accelerate your results even faster, then we can definitely push those forward for you as well. Okay. John, good job on the diet, man. I've been hearing some good things from Greg about you. I work with Greg. So he's about 30 minutes away from my house and we train together
Thanks.
once a week. And he's got a lot of praise for you, man. Well done.
Thanks.
Stephen, just started the program. Got your food in check. Great work. Keith, I missed you there, man. Big new client project. Great work. Getting stronger and up in your cardio. So I'm sure Andrew's on the case with your programs, man. You're looking incredible. You made some great progress so far, brother. Well done, man. Me see. Al. Shingles last November. Jeez. Spartan. Al, give us an update on the Spartan race, man. How was that?
It was great. Brutal, but great.
So is it
I
5K or
ran.
10K?
What's that?
Was it a 5K or a 10K?
I did both. So I ran the 10K on Saturday morning, and that went well. And it's sort of different this year with Spartan, where last year it was sort of they had the age competitives and then they had the elites. And I ran age because last year was my first year racing. This year they combined the two, so the competition's much more stiff. I didn't know what to expect, but I went out guns blazing and it was a good fight. And yeah, fortunate enough to play second overall and won my age group. And then Sunday morning, well, Saturday, I recovered and rested, put the feet up. And then Sunday morning, did it all over again for the 5K and ran against some fresh legs. It was a lot tougher considering the big race the day before, but managed to win my age group and get third overall. I missed the
Mate.
dang spear throw, which costed me, but it was still a fun race. So
Great
overall,
job.
happy with the results and looking forward to the next one.
Good man. So you're working with your coach on planning for the next one to in your programming?
We are. I just kicked it off with Coach Andrew, so we've started the discussion and have a plan in place. We're starting to craft and looking forward to it.
Hey, that's superb. So obviously Andrew's going to be the expert on this for sure. You'll know the insides and outs of this, especially with his athletic background. But if you're looking at obviously testing a few areas in where you need to if there's any areas that you're missing the gaps on, you want to push that performance level. If you want to improve speed on a few things, or if you need strength in certain areas, then obviously Andrew's going to be able to map that out. But then obviously fueling that performance correctly across the week, depending on the training sessions you need. That's where that's where these tracker sheets can really come in place too, right? So if you need to lose body weight to improve speed and things like that, if you need to be more agile and just affect your body composition in a specific way to improve those things, that can be sort of tracked in a specific way as well. But mate, one, superb. Two, I know Andrew's got your back. He's going to be able to design the right plan for you. So yeah, man, great. It's great to hear all these wins coming through, guys. I know Richard's driving right now. I know he's got a lot of wins on the bank already, man. Good to see you, Richard. Lewis, good to see you too. Big up on the big bench the other day, Lewis. Well done, man. Good to see you, brother. Okay, boys. So, yeah, what I'd like to share is the thought process on how I look at getting and predicting results, right? So, first off, not everybody can track or might be willing to track the amount of data that I like as a coach. I know Thompson's come in and he's, to be fair, he wants to put on a lot of muscle mass. And he was a little bit like, oh my God, this is quite like in depth in what we need to track. But it was always an open discussion to say, look, what is the minimum we can look at taking a look at with data first. The basics, especially if fat loss or muscle building is going to be the goal, I want to be able to see photographs on a weekly basis, which is on your check-in anyway. So that's a good start. But then two, I want to see how the body weight fluctuates, right, from a daily basis. So I like a daily body weight intake because at the end of the week, we can look at the average weight over the week. And that'll show you how your body reacts to things like stress, the food you're eating. Are you holding on to more food and you're not using the bathroom effectively? Or you're using the bathroom too much? Are you losing too much weight too quickly? And we go into, and these are the way, like the questions we can go into. So it's not just about weight going up and down and predicting fat loss that way, but we're looking at other parameters within that weight as well. So if your weight's dropping too fast, the questions are going to be, what are the bathroom habits? What was your sleep like? What's your energy like? Like all of those things need to come into play because those will affect your body weight in certain ways. And then we can start to look at body composition from pictures. If everything's being adhered to, we can make much faster changes around the program you're currently on based off how you're following the program, number one, and two, how your body's reacting to the program as well. So the more data somebody can give me as a coach, the more I can see the big picture and the faster changes can be made to accelerate those results really well, right? So for example, Thompson at the moment is like 4 weeks in, maybe he's had a break in Portugal. He's already up 1.5 kilos in body weight, which we're fine tuning his nutrition on a weekly basis based off how his body's responding to that, right? So he's checking in on everything that I need. And then as we catch up on his calls and messages, sending me videos, we're really getting to the nitty gritty of, okay, remove this food. This isn't doing you well. Replace it with this one. And we're making the nutrition plan more effective for him. So it's saving him time. And two, it's allowing his digestive system to recover pretty well. I'm hoping so anyway, after a call 2 days ago. So hopefully that's working well, Thompson. But let me share the screen. Good, man. So the digestion's cleared up already? Perfect. Perfect. Okay. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to share the screen. And this is going to look a little bit like numbers crazy, but you will get access to this if you have one with your coach as well, right? So I'll break it down for you step by step. And before I go on, just give me a thumbs up on your camera if you can raise your hand, and just give me a thumbs up if you're currently using one of these trackers with your coach. Josh, yep. Matt, yes. Let me go through the camera. This is Dale, I know you are. Thompson, I know you are for sure. Okay. Lewis, you currently using one with Greg? Give me a thumbs up, man.
I have the original one still.
Okay, perfect. That's okay. As long as you're going on there, you might switch over to the newer one as well, okay. Which looks a little bit differently. So what we'll do now is, so this is a timeline in what I'm working on with Chris Clark. So this is Chris Clark's spreadsheet. So this is what I look at every week. So this is mainly the weekly one that I would look at. And you can see from the 13th of November, he came in before we used this tracker. We're using the one you're using currently right now, Lewis. So we've tried to upgrade the spreadsheet a little bit. We've trialed it with a few clients. It works really well. So Greg might actually transition you over to the new one as well. But he came in at, I think it was 235 pounds. And by 13th of November, he was 216. And now you can see week by week, we plan the strategies on how long we're going to stay in a fat loss phase, and then how long we're going to take him out of it, and then how long we go back into a fat loss phase. We went to an aggressive fat loss phase. I'll talk you through what I'm currently doing for an aggressive fat loss phase as well shortly. And then we reverse diet, and then we just hit fat loss really, really hard. And then we've got 2 weeks of maintenance just finished, and then we're back into fat loss. So the current trajectory for Chris, now we've got him down to a decent body weight. We're giving him more frequent maintenance breaks from the diet because the longer you're in a deficit, obviously your body weight is going to start to come down. So we're going to need that one transition to help the body's I wouldn't say metabolism, but definitely psychology to come out of the diet, to allow life to come in and teach you how to live at higher calories and perform at higher calories, but also given that week or 2 weeks to just upregulate everything, let the body reset a little bit, and then bang, we can go back again, right? So now with Chris, we're going to be doing 3 weeks on a fat loss phase, 1 week off, 3 weeks on, 1 week off, until we hit our target, and then we start to switch. Right, because for Chris, the goal was when you see some photographs, you'll see him on, I think, Instagram. We posted up his before and after this week, and he's actually through this fat loss phase added about 8 to 10 pounds of lean mass, even though he's lost 48 pounds, which he's actually added lean mass to his frame as well. So even though he's in a fat loss phase, he's still able to add muscle, right? But now once he's got to that target weight, now the talk is going to be, are we shifting into muscle gain? Are we going through performance? Are we going to hit longevity markers? Like things like that, we can really start to nail down because his body isn't as inflamed. It's more insulin sensitive. And now his body can handle the stress that I can give him, right? Obviously, we're working on his fitness levels and we're working on strength and things like that. We're preparing him, but when his body is ready, we're going to throw the hammer at him, right? We're going to make sure that his performance goes up even more. The body can handle the stress it's going to be given, you know? So that's the thought process on that. Now, with regards to why we use this, if you look at these numbers here, so these numbers are the pounds of loss that he's had on a week-to-week basis. And this is the number of pounds, this is the number of percentage of weight loss that he's had or fat loss that he's had on a week-to-week basis. So you'll notice initially when we go here, there's some big jumps like a 1.5, a 1, a 1.6, a 1.35. So these are pretty big, right? These, especially this 1.6 to 1.35. So those are the weeks that I would ask questions, why is it this large? I don't want it to be that large. So if we're looking at fat loss at a good sustainable pace, for somebody that is larger that does have a lot more body fat, you can probably go over this number. But on average, the maximum fat loss percentage that I'd want to see every week would be 1% max. Over 1% for somebody that starts to get pretty lean, I don't want to go over 1% because there's a probability that you may start tapping into muscle mass stores and breaking down protein to produce energy from. Right. So we don't want to be sort of tapping into that. So I want to see around that 1, just slightly over might be fine. But if it's starting to go up to 2% and you're pretty lean. So for example, Al, if you're going and doing your running and your strength work and stuff for your 5, 10K Spartan races, and you're like dropping weight at a 2% rate, like I'm sure Andrew would be checking this out, but it's like now we need to make sure 1, you're hitting your calorie targets you need to hit. You take making sure those carbohydrates are coming in, you've got your protein at a good level to make sure you're holding on to that muscle mass, right? So that's one going to be one of the keys as you start to go through the performance phases also. So the rates of loss are going to be key. So the minimum, the slowest rate I'd want to see is 0.5%, and the fastest rate would be about 1%. Again, if somebody comes in at like 45, 50% body fat, 2% is fine. Like you can get away with that type of stuff because you've got a lot more mass to drop. Whereas once you get down to a decent amount, 20, 18% and so on, you want to be within that 0.5 to 1% range. Okay. So that allows us to see based off the data that we're tracking, is everything going in a good way? Now, if I'm going aggressive and we want to kick up, so this is where the psychology comes into things. So with the aggressive fat loss, you can go a little bit faster, but it's got to be a short duration. And you have to do things where you minimize risk of muscle loss. So when we do aggressive dieting, like I'm doing myself right now, I'll unpack it for you later on. But the training has to change. You can't go GBC style, full body workouts, lots of repetitions and all that type of stuff. It's going to be a nightmare for you to hold on to muscle tissue. You're going to be going into pathways that you don't want to go into in terms of energy. The body's going to want glucose and you haven't got the calories to utilize there. So this is why we like to keep that deficit around the 10, 15% mark, push performance. But if you do need that kick, where Chris did at this point. Psychologically, he's like, this is moving a bit too slow. Can we speed things up? I'm like, okay, these are the strategies that we have. And we both agreed and we set a plan in place to look at it and go week by week, how is he feeling through this? What's his performance looking like? And this guy literally, his hunger just dropped. Like he didn't have any hunger through this. He was only in week three to the end of week four. He was like, I think I'm gonna need a break here because we started to see performance drop due to the lack of calories. And then we kicked him back up. But you can see he went from 200 down to 190 in 4 weeks, right? And then he actually maintained it until this point here. And if you see this point, let me see if I can do this. There you go. There was a lot of stress at home in life. So this is where life kicks in. So this is why we need to track this stuff. So we had a talk around mindset, stressful triggers, and there was emotional eating habits, right? So anything stress-wise kicked in, there was always a reach for certain foods. Does anybody, let me stop share 1 sec. Does that sound familiar to anybody else when you get a lot of emotion, a lot of stress coming on, and there's an emotional side to it? Has anybody else looked at like the top cupboard and picked for something? Yeah? No? Okay. So for some people, it's food. Some people, it can be alcohol. Some people, it can be social media. There's like scrolling, like this. You're basically taking your mind away from the problem at hand and you're moving to something else. To quench that feeling that you have currently, right? So it might not be food. For this person, it was food. So we saw that on his body weight check-ins. And to be honest, this is where the transparency comes with your coach. If you can communicate with your coach really well and you're really open, you've got a good relationship to do that, which I hope you all do, because that's what the one thing I want to do with my clients. And now Thompson, Dale, we had a good chat today. And Dale might be gardening at the moment, but we had a good chat today on his next steps. But I love to really get inside the mind of my client. And I want you to know that I'm in your corner. And all I want you to do is win. Like we win as a team. So the more information you can give me and the more information you can share, the faster we get to that result. Right? I don't care if he eats whatever he eats, but if I don't know that, it's a problem. I can help him if he tells me, right? So within 2 weeks, we provided all the solutions needed, and then boom, he's back into the groove, you know? And he's just gone from strength to strength. So what that does when you look at the tracking sheet, it allows you to see here, week to week, he's down to 183.2 this week. So this week here, these last 2 weeks were purposely made to stay at 185. And the calories we set him were perfectly matched for that. Perfectly matched. We raised him up. He's like, this is a God, like, this is fantastic. I can maintain my body weight at this. And coming in, he was scared of raising his food. He's like, am I going to put body fat on? I'm like, no chance. So you can see he's gone back up to 2,600 calories, pretty good amount of protein, 200 grams of carbohydrates, 65 grams of fats. And then we're back down here, really kicking ass. Lost another 2 kilos the following week. And it's not even the end of the week yet. So kicking ass. So we can really start to predict things if the data is tracked, right? So you can see with Chris, as we go down, all he does through here, through January, body weight every day, wakes up in the morning and he just takes his body weight. Then through February, when we really started to kick in, he was then, okay, now we can track calories. I can give you as much information as you need. We started tracking steps, took calories away, just give him one thing to start tracking at a time. And then he started tracking when he was doing his full body workouts, told me his energy every day. So you can see as he's dropping body weight, his energy is pretty good. So that's all we set. Targets are here, 10,000 steps. Don't need to change too much. Goes back to doing his body weight here, drops the rest off because he got into that groove and that pattern. If he's doing something consistently and I know it's working, then he doesn't have to track as much detail as possible. But like I said, the minimum I want him to make through to me is the body weights in the morning. So you can see 183.2. right? So that's the tracking sheet where he tracks his data. He's got his daily top five, and he's good to go. Before I move on, that's quite a lot of information so far, and it looks like a lot of numbers. How long do you think this takes for him to fill in every day? Drop in the chat. If he was going to track everything in that tracking sheet for me, how long do you think that would take him per day? Keith, 5 minutes. Thompson, how long is it taking you to track every day? To enter the data in the sheet. A few minutes. So, how confident do you feel, Thompson? Lewis, 5 minutes. Yeah. So it's perfect. It's literally no more than 10 minutes, right? How confident do you feel when you look at that tracker, Thompson? And you're going to mute yourself for this if you want to share. You don't have to, though. But how confident do you feel when you start entering that data in the tracking sheet and you see those numbers and you go, what's your feeling?
It's basically like if you track it, you know what you're controlling. If you have a day where, you're kind of a bit off, you know whether it's the sleep, whether it's the kind of how you feel in the energy in the morning or in the evening. Sometimes I'm also tracking like when I eat as well, around the kind of like, afternoon before the workout, etc. So you can actually really control what you expect, and if you kind of like repeat the same day, then you know how your day will go, right?
Exactly. So, like the one thing I do like about it is, by the sound of what Thompson's saying here, is more confidence in the plan. So, the more confident you are, the more certain do you think something's going to work, the more you're going to attack it, right? If you know something is going to work, you're going to go all at it because you can see the end in sight, right? Dale, I can only pull on my clients. I know are using them pretty well. I know Josh is using one with Dan. Any feedback from you right now, Josh, on what you're doing with Dan with the sheet?
No, we had just gotten started with it, Gavin, before I went on vacation. So we had like a week break in there, so kind of catching up since I've gotten back. But he had explained kind of what basically what you said, and it was great to hear it twice because now some of the things that I had a note to ask you about, you've already answered. So it's. I'll say this, and I look at a lot of spreadsheets for what I do in engineering. It can be intimidating at a glance, but it's kind of like Thompson was saying, once you kind of get started, it's pretty quick and easy. You kind of get used to the routine of it. It's easy to follow and it, user friendly, I should say.
Exactly, man. Good. Thanks for the feedback, brother.
Sure.
Yeah, like Josh said, it can be overwhelming when you look at it all. So that's why we always start with what can you track for us, even if it's one thing. And we'll always give you the one thing that is going to give us the best bang for buck. So, like we said, if it's going to be fat loss, if it's going to be muscle building, then we want to be making sure that the body weight and the fat loss or muscle is going in the right direction. Otherwise, we're just guessing, right? We're waiting to just look at, especially muscle mass. Like I was explaining to Dale today, muscle is way harder to put on than losing fat. Like losing fat is way easier than adding muscle. And visually, you can see it much faster. So if I'm going to add muscle on somebody, one, it's going to take time. But two, I want to see predictions on one, how the training routine is going, if your progress is being made in the weight room. Two, if your body weight is going up at the percentages that I expect. So I was explaining to Dale today, one thing that I believe a lot of people do incorrectly when they're putting muscle on is just eat everything in sight because calories are going to put your body weight up. When typically what you will see is body fat goes on very, very fast, right? Have you seen those things? I've done it before in the past. I did like a 10-year bulk, right? So I kept putting lots of body fat. It's one of those things. But I was reading those magazines back in the day, I was one as well. I won't tell you how many years ago it was, but it was quite a number of years. But a lot of body fat went on. And typically what you'll see is if you want to stay lean as you put on muscle, a gallon of milk a day, that was the one. And everything else as well. What you'll see is you'll hit it hard for 12 weeks, and all of a sudden you put on this body fat and you go, oh shit, I'm too fat. Like I need to lean down again. So you've done 12, 16 weeks of gaining, and then you do like an 8 week cut. So basically you've gained for 4 to 8 weeks. you've put on probably zero, like zero. A lot of that's going to be inflammation. A lot of that's going to be water weight. It's not going to happen. So the more frequent you have the fat loss diet in a gaining phase, the more catabolic you are, which makes no sense. So if you want to put on muscle, you want to be able to stay as lean as possible for as long as possible. So when I set out mass gaining phases or lean gain phases, I want, like, for example, when we're looking at Thompson right now, he's putting on muscle. And obviously the worry for Thompson is, am I going to gain body fat? And visually, in the first 4 weeks, there's no difference in his body fat levels, right? There's no difference. But his body weight's gone up 1.5 kilos, which tells me, one, the weights in the weight room are going in the right direction. That's the positive. So we know if he's creating motor unit recruitment and muscle fiber recruitment, that's the response that we want, right? So the contractions are going where we want to. We can see the loads going up. That's a positive sign to strength going up. Number two, there's no body fat going on in a surplus, but the rate of his gain is going up as I predicted. So I set the calories based off where he is with his body weight. Yeah, you feel fuller and denser on your arms and legs, Thompson. Yeah. Perfect. So typically what you'll see, if you start to fill, I think I explained this at a course that maybe Ben didn't even hear previously, I think, where I find that if you lose, if you're in a weight, like this will go the same hand in hand. If you're losing body fat or you're aiming to lose body fat, but your limbs are dropping faster than your waist, you're in too much of a deficit. You should be holding on to the muscle around the limbs, and your waist and circumference should be coming in. If your waist is staying tight and then your limbs are expanding and your chest is expanding and your legs are expanding, the limbs are getting bigger. That's a great sign. You're being very anabolic. You're insulin sensitive. You're keeping the body composition where you need it. That's a very, very good sign, right? So this is why we look at those things in detail when we look at visuals. It's like, you guys might not look at pictures the same way as myself, Dan, Ben, Andrew would, you know. So things like that we look at on a weekly basis. So this is why we want you guys to check in weekly. And the more information we get, the better. So going into muscle building phases, and it might look slow as hell. I'll pull up Thompson's or another guy that I'm doing a muscle building phase with right now. So the rate of loss for fat loss is 0.5 to 1% ideally. You can go a little bit faster if we need to at certain points, but the average will be around those two. Now, if I want to put on muscle and I want to stay as lean as possible, I would predict to keep it around 0.2 to 0.5% on a week. So the maximum amount of muscle body weight you would grow on a month-to-month basis, about maximum 2%. Over that, typically you'll start to accumulate body fat at a quicker rate. Okay, depending on how many calories you're on and the type of ratio of macronutrient you're doing as well.
Gavin, could you repeat that rate, please?
Who asked? Yeah, of course. Who asked the question?
That was Matt.
Matt? Yeah. Sorry, Matt. 0.2 to 0.5% a week. That's where I would put it. Because that way, so I look at it as an investment, right? If you look at something like the S&P 500, on average since 1972, it's given you a 10% positive over that time, on average. So if I'm putting in monthly, every month, my investment into that, now I'm not saying everybody do this or I do it, but if you look at the average and you compound that interest, over time it's going to stack and compound and compound and compound. Now, if you're staying lean and putting muscle on and you compound 0.35% per week on a weekly basis, every week on average, you get 6 months down the line and your physique is totally different. Especially at the same body fat. So you might be 15, 16, 18%, but you've gone from X pounds to X pounds. And all of a sudden, now your mini cut is much lower. You do 6 to 8 weeks, and all of a sudden, you can visually see exactly what you've just built. Right. So that's the goal for me when somebody wants to put on muscle. Yes, we could do it fast, but you want to actually be able to see the muscle at the end of it. Because if I have to diet you so hard to lose a lot of body fat quickly, you're just going to waste away all that muscle because you're going to have to go over that 1 to 2% weight loss per week. Right? Does that make sense? So let me share again, and I'll show you a quick. view. Where's he gone? He won't mind you sharing me sharing this with you. Going to show another client on a muscle building phase where I'm only showing this one, Thompson, because he's been in there 12 weeks. So after the week one, he came in. We started this week one. He was 2.5 pounds up. So he came in at 190. And originally the goal was to get 10 pounds, 5 pounds, 5 pounds of muscle mass up. And I was like, nah, we're doing 10. There's no way we're hitting five. That's too easy. And he honestly thought he couldn't put on 10 pounds. I was like, that's easy. We just have to predict it. So if you can follow the plan and I can see what you're doing, this is easy. So you can see on that first week, he went way over the 0.5. So what happened? I set those calories a little bit too high, but in the first 2 weeks, I could make an adjustment pretty fast. And straight away, he went down. And then he started going back up at a nice rate. Notice when it goes up at 0.8, it comes back down, stabilizes, and then pops back up again. So this was due to training effect as well. And here, so this is the key. Okay. When we write programs, so does that make sense with the rates of gain on this guys? So you can see it's a slower rate of gain, but he's put on 10 pounds in 12 weeks, right? Pretty much 10 pounds. You will be hitting 10 pounds in the next 2 weeks. So the key is with this guy is as I start to push up calories, and if I put on body fat as I do it pretty fast, what have you learned from Ben that goes up if you've got too high body fat level? Your inflammation is going to go up. Right. So you're going to have very high inflammation in the body. The more body fat you accumulate, the more inflammation you're going to have. Yes, John, my man's in. Mate, if you've been filling your tracker out, like I asked you to, you'd be up here as well because John's put on a significant amount of muscle in the last couple of months. Yes, brother. Well done, man. Yeah. So if the body fat is too high, and again, John will be a testament to this one, inflammation's going to be too high. So this is the key. This is what I was trying to predict with this guy. As we're going down now into that last few weeks that you just saw on his tracker and his body weight's actually dropping, what you're seeing is that's lower volume of training. So if I dry, typically what happens, volume goes up at the end of a training cycle. People drive the volume up, drive the volume up, drive the volume up. But the problem is you're driving up so much inflammation in the muscle, and especially if you're in a mass gaining phase. If you're gaining fat at that point, there's more inflammation again. So typically what happens when inflammation is high, you can't get carbs or glucose into the muscle. The muscle won't accept it readily. So this is why I like to keep clients lean and predict that rate of gain at a good level because less inflammation is there, the body's willing to accept glucose better. So I strategically started to drop the amount of volume and drive the intensity up. So he's doing about 1 to 2 max sets of an exercise, maybe two exercises per body part on the workout, and that's it. And he's actually losing body fat in a sur like in a predicted surplus. So now I'm like, we got to put calories up. So how many of you would like more calories in a diet? Like, unless you can't eat as much, right? So I like food. Thompson's got a lot of food on his plate right now. It's 11 o'clock with Thompson at night. He's trying to get his calories in, right? So it's typically a lot of food. So some people handle food totally differently, you know? So I can eat 3,000 calories without taking a breath, whereas Thompson might take a bit of time to eat 2,006 and struggle through that through the day. So people's appetite regulation is totally different. But with this guy now, it's like, okay, now we've got to bump up his calories in a specific way to make sure that his protein level is at a good place. The carbs are at a nice place where he's not driving up insulin too high. But his fat levels for me, I'd like at a lower level because if his fat is too high, it's very easily stored as body fat if he's in a surplus because it's prepackaged, it's ready to go. And the fuel selector switch for this type of training is glucose. He's driving glucose because the muscle wants that glucose for contractions. So if I drive a lot of fat in there as well, that fat isn't going to be used because that's not the energy source the muscle needs because he wants contractions. He's doing high intensity training. So the body's going to go, I don't need that right now. I can use that later on, store that as body fat. So there's a specific thing that's obviously Andrew's going to be looking at with you also, because you're going to be doing quite a lot of activity by the sound of it. So you might have a little bit more carbohydrates, more protein and fats, things like that might start to come into the equation as well for you, brother. Okay. So that's how we start to predict overall how we look at getting results on a predictive basis. We can actually predict it. And where we do that, so you'll see here on Travis's sheet here. So this is the 0.2, Matt, if you look at the sheet at the top, this is the 0.5% rate of gain. So we can predict when he comes in, we start him in 191. It tells you what body weight you should be each week at the lowest rate and at the highest rate. So you can see yellow, he's ahead of the game. Green, he's on schedule. He's been on schedule every week for the past 10 weeks. Because one, he said, show me the plan. Let's get to it. We got 12 weeks. Okay. We got no time to mess around. If there's something that goes out of skew, I need to see it very fast because if we've only got 12 weeks or even 6 months, sometimes we need to make the change as quick as possible. If things get overwhelmed, all we have to do is look at the expectations of what's needed and we just adjust the timeline. Right. So it might be that Trav here, we actually, he's just signed back up. He's going to go up to 210 and then we're going to dial him back down to 200 pounds. So he's come in and he's going to actually put on solid, like 100%, 10% lean at 200 pounds. He came in about 15% at 190. So that's a good amount of mass put on. But if he made no change and I do this, and I go, well, the expectation is you can't keep up with the diet right now. So we're going to slow this down. And he might only get a 202 by the end of July. Right. So I can slow that down by doing that. Right. So there's ways we can start to manipulate this based off what you can and can't do. So all we want to do is give you realistic expectations. Can you meet these standards? If not, that's no problem. We just readjust the timeline for you because the result can still be made. It's never a case of you can't do it. All it's a case of is what can we manage for you in that moment? Does that make sense, boys? Okay, cool. So that's the tracker in like a real like flash, like how we predict it, how we set the calories, how we set the macronutrients. All depends on you individually. There's no magic formula for that. Like obviously we have calculations. I'm sure a lot of you guys have used them online previously, like the Harris Benedict. You've got the Mifflin St. Jean. We use both and we average them because everything is so close anyway. They're all within like 100 or so calories of each other. So I took the top two. Every time we do a calculation for a client, both of them come up, and then we take the average of both. So we use your total daily energy expenditure off that, and we use your BMR off that, the average. And then all we do is set that first plan. And then, like you saw with Travis, what happened on his first 2 weeks? His body weight went up too quick. We adjust fast, bang, and he's in. 10 weeks down the line, he's good to go every week. Okay. And then the macronutrients are based off what the target is. How is your physiology? Have you got too much body fat to start with? You probably can't handle carbohydrates that well. If you're very, very lean, we might have to start you on more carbohydrates, et cetera, et cetera. So it depends on the goal, depends on your physiology, depends on your blood work, if you're getting blood work done as well, depends on your hormones, like things like that we need to take a look at too. So that's where obviously Andrew's going to be working on with Al, you know, over the next coming weeks, looking at how much training volume you're going to have to do, Al, as well. Like that's going to play a big key in the amount of calories you're going to start to have to play with if you're going to drive the performance levels as well. So let me see. Steven's got a question. So for a lean bulk, is there a body fat percentage to start a lean bulk? Obviously the leaner the better, man. Like the where are you? Are you on the screen? Yes, Steven. So Stephen, the leaner the better, obviously. The leaner you are, typically the more insulin sensitive you're going to be. So when I did the last photo shoot I did, I was down about 9%. And coming out of that, my body just like you can soak up glucose really, really well. You can soak up those carbohydrates. And I just extended the time out and I just slowly built it back up around the 0.2, 0.5%. I slowly built those calories back up from the photo shoot. I slowly went up in carbohydrates. And within 8 weeks, I looked a totally different person, like totally different. And I was still around 10 to 11%. Like it took a long time to really start accumulating that body fat again, if you do it sensibly, right? So that's why I like that model of like you can extend out that gaining phase. Training's going well. Protein is up. Carbohydrates are starting to drive up. John's going through this right now, like literally. Like he's putting on weight. As soon as his weight stalls for a couple of weeks, boom, I'm putting his calories up. That's why I need to see the body weight. That's why I need to see the photos, right? But typically, if you're around 10, 12%, like top end, if you're getting, you can still carry on a gaining phase if you get up to like the 18, maybe 20%. Depends on the person, right? So it depends on how comfortable you are at that level. If you're feeling very uncomfortable, or if there's any blood work that's going out of whack, if your blood glucose is good and you're around the 18, 20% mark, you could probably extend it out a little bit longer. But around that mark, I'd be looking to go, we might need to start going into a cut here to just bring that insulin sensitivity back in. And then we go back into the gaining phase again. Lewis, question, brother.
Yeah, so the question I have is, I use the oat sheet, okay, and I fill it out very religiously, but I go up and down in weight. I am losing 1 pound a week, which is good, but I can't see what I'm doing that causes the weight go up and down. I do a high carb, I mean, excuse me, high protein, low carb, low protein, excuse me, high protein, low carb, low fat. Even though Greg does have me up a little bit higher on the carbs, I've never been a carb person. Am I hurting myself by not eating carbs?
Not necessarily, right? So I think I covered this on I do a call on a Saturday with Ben as well. And I mentioned this on that call where on a high protein diet, your muscles can resynthesize glycogen from high protein as well. So it's not like you're not going to be able to get glycogen in the muscle. So you can still do that from a high protein diet too. So I would start bringing carbs in. Now the fact that you're benching that amount of weight again, Lewis, which is great. Like that shows the intensity's creeping up, right? So I'm sure Greg's very, very high on the, obviously, as you know, the blood work, the hormones type of thing. So I think he will start to titrate those carbs up a little bit more as your intensity starts to drive up, and you're going to need that from the volume of training aspect. That might start to creep up then. It's not necessarily that you're not going to gain muscle by not eating carbohydrates. So protein is going to be the key macronutrient for that. With carbohydrates, it's more so that it's muscle sparing. So carbohydrates are going to just drive insulin up a little bit more, which means it's going to spare muscle. So it's going to look after that. And then in a deficit, if you're in a deficit, fat will be utilized there. So that's probably where the carbohydrate will come in for
Yeah,
you.
I'm trying to lose some more body fat. That's what I'm trying right now.
Yeah, he's probably got you on this on the perfect thing. So I
Okay.
think with Chris Clark, who's lost that amount of body fat that you just saw on the first spreadsheet, he's on a very high protein diet, and lower calorie, like lower fat, lower carbohydrates, but a very high protein diet. And his satiation from food is fine. Like his hunger is pretty good. Like there's no sort of, unless it's stress related, there's no I need to go and eat something, right? So that's his little crutch sometimes, and we've managed to start navigating those situations really well. We got certain things in place for him. But yeah, man, that's probably a nice setup for you. It's a nice setup for you. I'd probably look at if I'm sure he's got him on there for you, but digestive enzymes might work well with you with a higher protein
I do
diet.
that.
Yeah, perfect,
Yeah.
man.
Okay. Thank you.
No problem, brother. Guys, anybody else got any questions about the sheet or anything in terms of the lean and gaining or the fat loss? Sorry, we're talking about high protein diets as well. Here's the I covered this with Dale on our call. So I had a one-to-one call with Dale earlier on today. Again, I'm a not for everybody. Don't take this as like this is the same for everybody. But in lean gaining phases, I do like to go as high as 3 to 3.4 grams per kilo of protein. Because if you look at now, this is obviously based off study. Let me get Michael in. Michael's coming in the group. The studies show for muscle, the maximum amount of protein you need to maximize muscle protein synthesis is about 2.2 grams per kilo. Anything over that doesn't go towards muscle building, which is true, well, based off the research. But when I put people on higher protein, they go, well, why do I need more protein if it's not going to give me more muscle mass? Which is a fair question, right? But when you look at the research and people that are in a surplus that go to super high levels of protein, they typically stay much leaner for much longer. So if I've got, so John's a testament to this right now. So John is on pretty high protein. His calories are going up, but he's staying around that 15, 16% body fat range, and his body fat isn't going up, but he's on super high protein. So if I can keep him on that, so you got the thermic effect of feeding, there might be something other things physiologically going on in the system. But based off all the data, if you can stay leaner for longer on a higher protein diet, then that means I can keep you gaining for 6, 8, 10 months without having to take a mini cut. So that means you're way more anabolic, right? You're anabolic for an extended period of time. It's not like 12 weeks, then a 4 week cut or an 8 week cut or 6 week cut. So it's like half the time you're gaining, half the time you're in fat loss and you're at net zero. Like you just wasted 12 to 24 weeks, right? So if we think about it really smart and with a smart approach, we can put the right things in place, track the percentages to make sure they're going in the right direction. And all of a sudden, you're 6 months down the line, and you're just like, you're a totally different person. Right. Obviously, like I ended the talk, it's with as much data as you can give us. Right. So it's not that you have to give us all the data, it's just the data that we feel that was is going to give us the best data to predict things for you in a much accurate way as possible. That makes sense with the high protein stuff as well, Lewis. Good man. Any more questions, guys, at all? I've got a question for you guys, apart from John. I know John Thompson. How many of you could, I know Lewis is using one as well, but how many of you feel that you could track some data on that sheet? Keith, Al, Richard, Paul. Good. John, you already do. Good man. Thompson, living the dream. My man. Good, Lewis, you're already doing it. So, yeah, if you feel you can track some data, the response that we've had, Steve's not on the call tonight, but he started with four of his clients with the new sheet. We started rolling them out with a few of his clients first, just to get them used to it. And the clients that are using it, their results, they are working obviously, but they're just more consistent with everything. Because once you can see things that are working and the things that are happening, like you're just more motivated. You look at that, the prediction that comes out. What's going to happen if you work hard and you see the result happen on that sheet? That body weight average goes exactly where you expect it. The percentage goes exactly where you expect it. What's going to happen? In one neurotransmitter is going to go up, dopamine. It's going to be a rewarding pathway, right? So the more reward you get, the more you want to do it. So that's why I want it. That's why I like to use the colors. That's why I like to use the percentages because you don't have to be a numbers guy. You don't have to be a spreadsheet guy. But if you can fill in some data that gives Andrew some information and goes, Keith, this is what we need to do next week, man. This didn't work well this week. We're going to make some adjustments. I'm confident this is going to happen. Let's see you go with this. Bang. And that happens. Keith's over the moon, man. Like he's buzzing, right? So that's what we want. We want prediction. We want as much certainty in the program as possible. And the more data we can get from you guys, the better. Sound fair? Love it.
One more question.
Of course.
I'm not familiar with the term. I'm probably saying it wrong. I was reading something about something like a decom or something like that, meaning that you, when you press hard for a long period of time, like 2, 3 weeks, that you need to downsize your workout for a week.
Deload, yeah.
Deload, yeah. So what exactly is that important to do, or?
It depends. Like, that's a great question, Lewis, to be honest. So I think that some people have deloads where sometimes you need it, right? So it depends where you're coming in physiologically, how much stress you're under, but also how much training volume and sort of nutrition that's going into that as well, how much sleep recovery you have. So all of those things are going to play into that. So I'll give you an example. One client that I took on about a year ago, he came to MI. He couldn't train for more than a week without his body breaking down. He would try and train. He wanted to get in shape. He wanted to lose body fat. He would train for 1 week and his energy would crash that much. He felt like he couldn't get off the sofa for a day. So there was no way you could get results in that scenario. So when he came in, I started to analyze like exactly what he was doing. And typically, what is the model that people would use where they want to lose fat as quick as possible? They want to do a high amount of training on the lowest amount of calories. Make sense? So if he's got very high volume on low amount of calories, what's going to have to happen to his training? His volume's going to have to come down, which is essentially a deload, right? But in a deload, what I'd like to do for him, what I had to do was put his calories up. So I had to let him know that, like, there's no way you can function on these calories. He's doing like 20,000 steps a day. He's doing spin classes. He's trying to do weight training and he's on around 1600 calories. It just ain't happening. Like, there's no way your body can physically keep up with that. You could do it for a
So,
little bit.
would you say if I still feel strong and I feel like I could keep on going, that I'm eating a proper amount of calories and that I should be fine?
Yes, for sure. Now, if your energy's up, so the thing on the tracker, which you'll see, is you'll see the energy levels per day. So one will go red. There's a color scheme to that. So if it's a red, I'm like, your energy's low. That's the worst number. If it's a five, that's the highest, it'll go green. So we look at energy levels on a day-to-day basis. Then we can start to look at, well, if that starts to drop, what are the first things that I would technically look at? Number one, what's happening with your weight training? Is there a lot of volume going on there? Number two, where are your calories? What do you think the third, this could be the first one, but what do you think the third one might be?
Sleep.
Sleep. If you don't sleep,
I
like,
don't.
it's very, very tough. That's why we need to look at, well, some people can get away with less sleep and still have good energy, but it might be where if you've got less sleep, it might be there's less recovery going on, especially with things like growth hormone. When you sleep, growth hormone should be higher. Right. So if you're not sleeping, growth hormone isn't getting a chance to raise. Deep sleep's going to drop. That recovery period isn't there long enough. Right. So some people can get away with a little bit less. Some people need more. But I guarantee if you have a good, like, this might not be anywhere near your level at the moment, Lewis. It might be 2 or 3 hours you get. I don't know. But if you get to like 7 hours, 8 hours, you get deep sleep in there. No problem, Andrew. Thanks for joining, man. If you deep sleep high enough in there, you will be another human. Like, you will take your training to another level. Right.
Well,
So I
thank
think
you.
sleep is one of the biggest factors for a lot of people. If you can nail that down or even improve it by an hour from where you currently are, you will feel totally differently.
We're working on that.
Good, man. I honestly, like, it's one of the main things I think people should work on because if you look at the research also, I've seen this with anecdotally with clients too. People that don't sleep effectively have a much slower, harder time losing body fat. And there's a lot of research to back that up. So you take people that were woken up, it's like it was a few weeks study, but if you get woken up consistently through the night, which they did with the same group, their fatty acid oxidation, so basically fat burning, dropped by 50%. And their hunger hormones switched. So that meant they were more hungry through the day and their fat oxidation went down. Like, that's the worst case scenario. But luckily, within a week transition, they switched them over, let them sleep through the week, all of those things normalized. So it can be fast to change as well, where you just have to be consistent with getting that back on pace, you know? Well, good, man. But yeah, deloads can be used. So going back to my client, now we've got him to 8 weeks of solid training. We give him 1 week deload. It's basically a parasympathetic week. So he still does activity and so on, but it's very parasympathetic. So it's like massages, hikes, steady state bike work, breath work, flexibility, yoga, like all of those things will still go on in that week. But we just give him that week to relax, and bang, we go again. If you look at consistent training for him now, it's just something that we put in place because subconsciously in his head, he doesn't want to go back to square one, right? So we always put in a deload week for him. I honestly think he could blast through that no problem because I've got his volume and his intensity at a pretty good level. He can just keep going. But it's one of those things.
Okay.
Good man. Good question, brother. The other thing too with deloads is I think some people don't need, if the program's right, you might not need one. Like I was just saying with this guy. But the other thing to check is your HRV is going to give you a good indication if you need to just back off that training a little bit. So if your HRV is dropping, your resting heart rate starts to come up, that might be a sign that your body's struggling a little bit with sleep, training, recovery, and so on. So that might be that you just take the next week or the next few days, you just drop the amount of sets that you do. You keep the intensity high, you keep the weight on the bar, so you don't get weak or anything. If you're doing three sets, drop the one. Just do one all-out set, like one hard set, each exercise at the gym. So you basically cut your training time down by 50% easy.
Okay. All
Okay.
right, cool. Thank you.
Good man. Boys, any other questions? Everybody good? Well, boys, thank you so much for your time today. Everybody else that's in the group as well, thanks so much for joining. I really appreciate your time. I enjoyed seeing you all. It's good to see all the wins at the start of the call as well. If you do feel like you want to take the opportunity to work on that spreadsheet with your coach, just let them know. They'll be up and running with a sheet. They'll send it over to you. They can start to set those targets on the timeline as well. So they'll either go with the fat loss or the muscle gain, whichever goal you're going to be working towards. And then you can start to see what body weight you're going to be on what date. And then we track that week to week. And we might have to extend it out for some people. It might take a little bit longer based off how much we can track or if the plan's moving in the right direction. But at least we've got a positive outcome that you know you're working towards, right? So if you feel like you want to do that with your coach, let's get at it. If you've got any questions for me at all, always post in the group. I'll be in there. Tag me in it. I'll get the answer for you, okay? Boys,
Thanks
enjoy the
for all
rest.
the info.
Anytime, guys. Anytime. As
Awesome. Thanks, Gavin.
Thank
Keep
you.
working hard, boys. Keep getting those results, gents.